welcome to the Goddess Geek Podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and I have been away for a little while, but I'm back. I'm here. Everyone's cheering in, like, in podcast land. Podcast land. That's how out of practice I am. I can't even say the word podcast. Thankfully, a man who is no stranger to podcasts or podcasts is Adam Carroll. How are you, Adam? All right?
I'm very good, man. I'm very good. How was your Easter?
Very busy, because around about Easter time tends to be my kids both have got birthdays in and around Easter, so it tends to be a busy time for the Cook family.
Okay, and
in amongst all that as well, like, we've been to see Avengers, which, you know, we might actually do a podcast on at some point if we ever get chance. And it's just it's just been busy, man.
Okay. Do you eat plenty of chocolates?
A decent amount. Less as the years go by. I didn't go mad. I should ask you, because we haven't had a chance to podcast. Let's pretend we only ever talk on the podcast. How was your Easter?
Mine was fine. It was okay. It just kind of came and went. Had loads of chocolate. yeah, man, it was good. Just as of right now, though, I think the world is just avoiding spoilers, because, as you just said, you've been to see the Avengers. There's probably, maybe we there can be a podcast done, because I know a lot of the site is a fan of the series.
But it's weird for me, because I'm normally, when we've talked about this on the podcast, I'm normally behind, like, well behind. And I went and saw it on opening weekend, which is, I think, the first time I've done that for, I reckon, at least 15 years, if not 20.
Whoa. How was it? That's actually a better opening. How was your cinema experience?
It was all right. Like, to be honest with you, it was all right. Like, I didn't feel like there was any interruptions. I felt like everyone was there for the same reason. They really wanted to see Avengers Endgame. And, like, I could see, it was quite funny, because none of the people I was with went to the toilet. We all knew it was a long film. We all knew to, obviously, we're not going to spoil anything, obviously. But we all knew it was a long film. In fact, the last long film I saw in the cinema, so this might give you an indication, wasn't opening weekend, but the last time I went to see a long film was, I think, the second Lord of the Rings film. And I will admit, by the end of that, it was like, this is, my ass hurts. Like, you know what I mean? But this one, we paid for the premium seats. It was comfortable. We'd had one drink. I didn't know, by the way, you can take your own food into the cinema. I didn't know that was a thing anymore.
I didn't
know you could do that.
That's the trick. That's how you do it. Because
the last time we went to the cinema was as a family was Infinity War, and I think we spent near enough £50 on food and drinks. And I was like, "Well, we ain't doing this again." Yeah. This time, my mum of all people, she just bought a load of sweets, and this is how bad I was. So certain we were going to get thrown out. I went to buy drinks. Hey, apparently you can take drinks as well. Next time we'll be doing that as well, because five drinks was £25, and that seems like a lot. But anyway. Buying the drinks, I said to my wife, like, look, just pick a bag of chocolate. Doesn't matter which. She's like, why? We've got buttons. Just trust me. Pick a bag of chocolate. So she picked some buttons, and I picked the buttons up, and it was almost like a comedy sketch. Like, walking around going, look at these buttons I've just bought. And I walked up to my mum and said, look, I'm just going to put these in. Really, I'm going to have to move away from the mic really loudly. Like, mum, look, I'm just putting these buttons in your bag, right in front of, like, the ushers, so that if they did check her bag and threatened to throw us out for bringing outside food, they would say, oh, no, he did buy them. We saw him put them in the bag. And, of course, they didn't check her in any way at all.
Yeah.
Like, during it, my son said he saw someone filming the screen. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus, like, what did you say, 15 years, is it, since you've been to the cinema?
No, since I've been to an opening weekend.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's it was just a good experience. Like I said, the only thing that I thought was quite amusing to me was I could see the parents who had kids younger than mine who have not quite yet understood. There's a certain age where bladder control is a thing, and there's a certain age where it's like, I am a child, I must piss. You could see the child walk past, and then the adult behind, and you could see the adult thinking, fuck sake. You know what I mean? Because he didn't need to go, or she didn't need to go, but the kid had to go. And it was it amused me. Yeah. But yeah, I think we should do a podcast about that film. Well, series, maybe.
Were you a fan?
I really enjoyed it. I said on Twitter, and I'll repeat it here, it's a messy film.
Okay.
But I think it has to be, given, you're talking 11 years of films?
I think so. To be honest, like I'm really bad when it comes to the Avengers series.
Okay. But it's, regardless, it's at least 10 years, and it's a messy film that I feel is both an hour too short and an hour too long. And I know that makes no sense, but if you've seen it, I think you'll know what I mean. It's a strange film.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to be that person who is... Like, there's a group of people out there who are just shitting on people's fun. And
I know.
It is shit that people are doing that. I'm just personally not a real big fan of the series. It just doesn't do it for me as much. I'm just going to wait till it gets a bit quieter and I'll just go and see it then. But from what I've heard, like, people seem to be very happy. I haven't met anybody at all say that, like, oh, it was just downright shit. It did not live up to the expectations. The only slight thing I've heard is that, like, it wasn't some people's favorite of the series.
It's not my favorite, but it's up there for me, I think. Terms of, you know.
But people seemed, I know, like, Jesus, Gaz, he loved it. Chris loved it. So, you know,
I'd like to see it again. I will say, I'd like to. I don't know, one like lazy bank holiday weekend in the future, sit down and watch Infinity War and Endgame together. So we're talking, you know, once like the, you know,
would you have been more excited about the Avengers Endgame or the Battle of Winterfell?
I think Avengers, but both were good. Mm. Both were very good. But listen. Even if you're listening as soon as this goes live to Patreons, those things are in the past. You could say, Ad, that they are, you know, behind us. You know, you could say that the day's gone, couldn't you? I think. We don't have to talk about games. We could just do a podcast about movies. It's our podcast, but I feel like we should. This is the thing. The spoiler discussion's been doing the rounds, and I felt like I had the dual power this morning of having seen Endgame and the most recent Game of Thrones, and it really wasn't very hard to not ruin it for anyone. It was really not hard at all. But I feel like I'm not one that's usually a part of the zeitgeist. Like, I came to Game of Thrones about 4 years late. I've been catching up on the Avengers films, as people have heard on this podcast. And for once, I'm ahead, or at least up to date, as I am with Days Gone, because I've played a significant portion of that. But before I shoot my load about the game, I believe you've played it too.
Yeah, you've definitely played more than I have. So I think everyone kind of expected the game to come out with the kind of reviews it has. I don't think many people were thinking, like, there was definitely hope of, like, oh, it'd be amazing if this came out without, like, any buzz train, and it just was incredible. What I've played so far, it's fine. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just like, I'm having fun in bursts, I guess. It has problems, but I still kind of find a bit of enjoyment just kind of driving around, and like the bike itself being almost like a character in its own way in the game, like getting used to getting off the bike and knowing that you can't call the fucking bike to you because you're so used to these kind of things in games. So, like, I end up just disappearing in the world and just looting stuff. And then I'm like, oh, my bike is all the way over there. That's a nightmare. Yeah. So then I'm just going back. And, like, the world for that kind of thing to happen in is, it's not the greatest. It's pretty bland. It's pretty empty, but I'm guessing, like, that's what the whole thing is about. Like, I haven't at all come across a swarm yet of zombies or freakers, whatever you want to call them. And I'm guessing when that does happen, it's going to be like, holy shit, this is now mental exciting and fun. But, like, as the story goes, like, whatever. Like, the story is, it is what it is. The dialogue at times is just downright awful.
So speaking of that, actually, right, there was a couple of patches pre-release, because to be fair to Sony, they got us this game really early, like at least 2 weeks early. It might have been more, actually. It might have been nearer three. There were problems with this game. I tried it on Pro and on PS4, I had bugs like where the sound would completely cut out apart from the dialogue. So you would be like, the motorbike sound's gone, the game audio completely gone apart from dialogue. And the only way I could get it to come back would be to like quit the game. And I don't mean like reload, I mean go to the PlayStation menu and close the game and start again. Bet. And that was a pain in the ass because this game has significant loads. It loads to get to the main title screen, and then you have to load into the game.
So that
happened three times on the trot. I come back the next day, it happened again, and then it sort of went away. You know, so maybe they hit that with a patch. I think there's issues with the sound full stop. Like, I don't know if this is still in the game, so I'm intrigued if they patch this. But you know how in Spider-Man, we talked about this, I think, on the Game of Year pods, how they recorded like two versions of a lot of the dialogue, so that if Peter was swooping around, it was kind of more like, instead of like, hi, Adam, it was like, hi, Adam, you know, it was under duress, so to speak, like he's extolling, yeah. You know, extolling some energy. I felt like that sort of... At one point, I thought they'd done that with Deacon because he seems to be yelling so much. And there's scenes where there's a scene where you rescue a girl. Spoilers, I guess, but I'm not going to say who it is. You rescue a girl and she's on the bike and she's upset and been through the mill. And he's yelling every word, like yelling, like not just like talking loudly, like proper screaming. And I was like, did they cock? And he also narrates everything. And to me, that doesn't make sense because often you're in stealth. So shut up.
It
breaks the world a bit.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Like that, when I put in the game, like I got it day one. So like,
yeah.
I got the patch, and the patch was like, I think 13 gigs or something. And I was just like, oh no, oh dear. Like that's,
wow. Yeah.
Like day one, that's never great. I've had audio issues. I've had like the whole thing of just no one speaking, but there's clearly dialogue because I have the subtitles on.
I've had that.
And the loading is still the exact same. It's just downright atrocious. It's just opening the game. It's just when you boot up, that's when the real like kicker of loading is in place.
But you wonder what that's loading, because then when you hit continue, there's another minute and a half. So if it was doing that load at the start to load the game in, so you could just go continue, and it was kind of like, you know how God of War starts? You hit start and it just goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's got the act scene at the start. If it was doing that, it would be like, yeah, okay. But it's not. It's just two loads.
And then just to like go off the bat of what you're saying regarding the like just audio in general and the dialogue, the game never seems to want to shut the fuck up. Like,
You're not allowed to take it in at all.
You can't, because you're in the middle of stuff, and everywhere you go, there's just somebody just going to say something to you, or there's always something going on. But after a couple of hours, and it's not the shit on the game, like as I say,
not at all. I don't think it's bad, by the way. I'll say that now. I don't think it's bad.
I think the reviews are pretty fair, but I just think we're in a day of video games where a lot of people just can't accept a review with reviews like this and then just take it away and enjoy it for themselves if they can. It's always just going to be like, look how bad it is. My only thing really is, because like things like the audio and the loading, don't get me wrong, it's not great when the game is out and that's what's there. It can be patched, and I'm willing to accept that, and just down the line, it'll come into place and hopefully that'll be sorted. My thing is, this game has been in development for how long?
3 years, I believe. Well, it was announced 3 years ago.
Yeah. So it was announced 3 years ago and no one really knew what to make of it. Everyone was like, oh, another zombie game, whatever. The thing about Days Gone is when it starts and when you're playing and you're on the bike and you're getting around, you're kind of just taking in the world. You kind of definitely, I think everybody would be like, I don't know, I think I might enjoy this. I think I might have a good time. Mm-hmm. I think I could probably get through this. And like when you see all the fives out of tens and stuff, you're going, I don't really see this yet. But there comes a point in the game where the game just then shows you exactly what you're going to be doing pretty much for the next 30 to 40 hours.
Spot on.
That's when you go, oh, right. So no.
So it's funny you say that, right? Because I saw some people saying, I saw so-and-so reviewer and you know, I saw their trophies and they didn't even finish it. And then no wonder they gave it a low score. And I was reading that going, no, if they'd finished it, they'd have given it a much lower score. Like the thing about this game for me is that in the first few hours, I was like, actually, this is all right. I was expecting a decent game. I was actually really enjoying it. And as you say, then you start to realize, oh, there's nothing else. There's nothing else.
And that's the problem with like the real kicker here is that
Yep.
With the length of time that has been developed and we've seen it and stuff, you just kind of go, there's nothing new.
So, here's a question for you. How many enemies have you faced in this game so far, would you say? Like, what enemy types? If I asked you to tell me the enemy types you have faced, could you do it?
So there's moments where when I'm fighting the Freakers, which are just basically like zombies, I fought them and I fought like humans who just look like Freakers.
Yeah, the Rippers, basically.
Yeah.
And you fought humans who are just humans.
Exactly. And the thing is, the game, there's so much stealth involved in it because I actually feel like when the Freakers see you and you're running away and you can look behind whatever and you're kind of just going away, it just becomes really messy, the combat, because I don't know, you for the first few hours, you don't feel like a badass. You don't feel like you're able to take these things all out. The AI as well is also in parts really bad. Like,
so I was going to ask you about that because I think the stealth is actually almost too good in that it is far too easy to exploit. Like, the line of sight on Freakers, well, not just Freakers, actually, just the line of sight from enemy AI to you is, if they are looking over your shoulder, they can't see you. Unless they are directly in front of you and you're basically shooting firecrackers, you can get round them and get a stealth kill. And then you can literally go and get another stealth kill from someone who should also have seen you. Like, I don't know whether like that is... I suppose from a very specific technical perspective, that's poor. Yeah. But it actually kind of works in the game's favor because it makes it a bit easier.
It does. But then there was moments where I actually, when you going back to you about the enemies, I came across the Nero crew, the researchers and stuff. And like, there's one moment where you kind of, you're in an area where they're all around and it's kind of like the first time you really see them all.
And when it tells you, you basically can't shoot them because they've got superpower armor on.
Like there was no joke a point where I stealthed up behind one of them. And I mean, I was touching the enemy from behind.
Because I did the same because I wanted to see if I could stealth kill him.
Exactly. And then it didn't happen. Yeah. But in the middle of that, I actually got around it. Like I just went, they turned around and I just went around the right hand side and just drifted off into a bush. And like, I was like, oh Jesus, how could they have not seen me there? But also, why can't I stealth? Like, why can't I get my knife and just shoot into the neck like I've been doing with everything else? It's those kind of things that are just strange. Like, I think overall, the game on paper had a good idea, but I just don't know if they ever really had...
I think what you're saying there is right up my... I'm saluting that, right? Because the thing about this game for me is that, as I say, the more I played of it, the more I didn't like it. The repetition grinds you into dust eventually. For example, the bike thing. I get that it's a video game, okay? But no bike runs out of petrol just going around the shop. Do you know what I mean? And this bike... the fuel efficiency is appalling. Like,
it really is.
But then the thing is, there's always cans everywhere, so it kind of just becomes annoying because you know there will be a can there halfway between A and B. There'll be a can, but then you get a level or a mission that is a story mission, and that fuel can icon disappears completely because they don't want you to be able to run out of fuel in a story mission because they know that would be bad.
Yeah.
But that says to me, why didn't anyone say, let's just say accept this as a game and do away with any survival mechanics? Why are we asking people to fuel up? Oh, okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll make sure there's a fuel canister everywhere and they respawn. And you know what, back at your base, there's one that's got infinite fuel.
And you've got a gas station mission that you can find as well.
That's to me, that stuff is like, it's you break your... If you put fuel in the game, fine. But if you play a survival game, which this isn't, to be fair, it just has a few little survival-y elements. But if you're playing a survival game, you don't then do a story mission and it goes, by the way, don't worry about fuel now, because it's a story. You can't break your rules like that. If you break your own fiction, you're in trouble. Yeah. And I just feel that, like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't review it, so I don't have to, you know, say, oh, I finished the game and I, you know, whatever. But I couldn't finish it because I got to the point where it... just the repetition was killing me. I couldn't. I basically went, I don't have to play this. I'm going to stop because there's a mission, the flashback missions. So have you seen any flashback missions yet?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Have you played the one that basically shows you the intro of the game again?
Yeah.
But longer. And did you come away from that going, why have you shown me this? You already showed me this.
100%.
Right. So to me, again, why did nobody point that out and say there's no... Or do you know what? Just start in the open world and let the player discover. But like that sort of happens again later. You get a flat flashback mission and they're like barely interactive, but you can walk around. And there's one where you have to pick flowers. And it's so dumb. And it's like, do you know what lavender is? Oh, yeah, of course I know what lavender is. And then literally you finish that flashback mission and then your mission in the real world is go pick some lavender. So I went and did that, and there was a swarm nearby. But I realized at this point, I'd done a lot of side missions, I'd done a lot of the game. I realized I'm just going to run up to that lavender, pick it, get on my bike, drive off, get the next one, just forget the swarm exists. And I just did. And that to me felt like I had a moment with those Nero checkpoints that McPoo actually mentioned in our Discord, our God is a Geek Discord, where. You have to, with these Nero stations, you have to power them up, but you also have to knock the speakers out so that you don't bring a swarm. And he had the same thing happen that I did, which was I missed the third speaker, so it brought the horde in. But the auto-saving meant that every time I died and reloaded, the swarm was on me. Yeah. And I did that and did that and did that and did that until one time the game loaded in and it just decided, the swarm's not here. Get on with it. The swarm's not here. And I was able to get through the mission. Otherwise, I'd have been banging. I don't know. I don't think Days Gone is bad. I do think it has a lot of ideas that aren't fully fleshed out. Like they didn't
get there with it. Yeah, you just hit it there, like with saying there's a lot of ideas. But the problem is, it almost feels there's too many cooks in the kitchen because it has this thing where it feels like that Sony Horizon game where like there's just an open world, collectibles, get around. And as you play more and more, you just become more and more amazing. As the character progressed in skills and stuff. But then the survival aspect that they tried to do with the bike and just looting everything, as much as I like looting stuff, the bike will get annoying because it even tells you...
There's not that much to loot. The loot itself is like, so you open a car bonnet, you either get scrap if you've got enough space to have it, or you get a muffler for your gun if you haven't got... That's it. If you go to the back, you'll either get bandages, bottles. You know, there isn't actually that much to it.
Yeah, and then the kind of scanning that you have, like, it doesn't fit. When that's shown to you, you're like, okay, but like, it just doesn't look or feel like it has a purpose within this title, even though, and that's just because of all the ideas that are surrounding it. For me personally, Days Gone should have just been a really, really full on survival game. It should have taken the open world and went around with all that and just worked on it and made it super polished. Like, there's even bugs out there, man. Like, people are riding around with the bike completely missing. Like, it's just...
But there's also some scripting issues. Like, there was one point when I was playing it where I had nothing to do. Like, I'd done all the story missions that are available and I'd done all the side missions and there was just nothing to do. I kept loading my... I texted Chris and I was like, Chris, is there a moment in the story where you're just kind of like, go and do nothing? Because there's nothing for me to do. And so I just thought, right, I'm just going to ride to a bit of grayed out map. And then I got there and the radio went off and it was one of the camps saying, hey, can you do this mission? And I was right next to it. I was like, so that's gone off because I'm going to discover it. Yeah. And I've also had things like where I've been getting like calls from these camps as I'm just starting a mission. Like again, this is a tiny little nitpick, but I really hate it when games do this because modern games don't do this now. Like the kind of cutscene will warp you somewhere you weren't, but in the same area, like it does that. Again, it sounds like I'm ragging on the game an awful lot, and I don't mean to be because I don't think it's bad. No, I think it's slightly above average, personally. For me personally, yeah. I think you expect more, but I didn't expect that much. And in the beginning, I was like, actually, this is going to surprise a lot of people. But the more I played it, the more I was like, there's not much here, is there? Like, I saw a video online that I think Sony retweeted where someone's hiding in the bushes. And the stealth system is quite funny when you watch it because there's hundreds of zombies, sorry, freakers walking past. And it's just your head popping out the bush. It's like, I know, it's a game, whatever. But then all these swarms, this swarm walked all the way past. And this person was like, I can go and explore the cave now that they came from. And I'm watching that going, there won't be anything in there. That's not how this game works. I don't know. But, you know, that's Days Gone, I suppose.
As I said, if somebody's dwelling on whether they should get this or not. I do think anyone who is a PlayStation owner should just give it a shot. If you're looking for something that's like completely just easygoing, I guess, in a way, and you can just drift around and collect things or whatever, then this is probably the one to get when it goes maybe on sale. I think, like, spending the full box on it now, I couldn't personally say everyone should go out and just get this game. But yeah,
that said, we're in a quiet period, so it's like if you are desperate for something new, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
if you're pissed off at Sekiro, maybe play this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was going between like a game we got super early, Days Gone, and I was going between that and MK11, Mortal Kombat 11, which we did get pre-released, to be fair. The story mode took me about 4 hours to get through, and that's a really, really good fighting game. I did listen to the podcast last week. I'm trying to remember now. I don't think Chris had actually scored it at the time, had he? I think it was Review in Progress. I think it's a really good fighting game, marred by the grind, which they say they're fixing.
I said this to Chris. Should I get it? I am really thinking of picking up this game.
I listened to you talk about that bit, and for me, based on what you said on the podcast, I don't think you should. Because you said yourself you're not into fighting games, right? Now, this is a very accessible fighting game. Yeah, but the thing is, are you into Mortal Kombat? Because this is the third part of basically a trilogy of games. Like this,
I love the movie.
Well, you'll know some of the characters, but MK9 rebooted the series. MK10 took it in a bit more serious note, and this is kind of a bit of both. It's daft and serious, but it also is the sort of conclusion of those three new Mortal Kombat games. So for me, unless you're a fan of them, and you like fighters. Look, this is a very accomplished fighter, but it is also a very accessible fighter. Like, this game tutorial breaks things down in a way most games don't. It teaches you stuff about, like, the frame data and stuff. Like, there's, and the crypt is fun, but that is so grindy at the moment. I haven't played it since a patch, so it may be better. I think you would love the story. I think you would really get a lot out of the story.
Right.
But it is still a fighting game. You know, you still have to do fights to get the next bit of story. So I don't know is the honest answer.
I just think, like, the fact they've thought about putting in the dedicated, like, block button and taking away running and stuff, it just seems like it's offering more of a kind of, like, each fight is just really full on, but like in a skillful way that the more you play it, like, I know that's like any fighting game, but you know, you can jump into a fighting game, previous ones, and you just can't get down all the stuff and everyone's just amazing at it. But
so hang on, here's a question for you. Will you play online?
I would like to say yes to that, but I imagine people are going to be just ridiculously good.
Yeah, exactly. So would you be, so how much is it? If you buy it, going down the shop after this chat and buy it, how much would it cost you?
It would cost me €70.
And is that the same price as, say, A Day's Gone or whatever? That's full price retail. Okay.
Full price, yeah.
How much? So the story mode is 4 hours. Maybe if you are like less experienced at the fighting, like, I know Mortal Kombat, the way the combos work, I know how the game works. So maybe it takes you five. The crypt is very grindy. It's pretty cool, but a lot of it's fan service. Like, in itself, it's a bit fan service-y.
Yeah.
Are you happy saying, I'm going to spend €70, get 4 to 5 hours out of story mode? There are offline single player stuff, but at the moment they are a little bit broken. I do think they will fix it. I'm confident they will fix it. But are you happy spending that for that amount of content currently? Because if you're not going to go online, there's still a lot offline, but at the moment it needs a bit of work.
But I don't know, man. There's just more to it just being like your fighting game. Like, for me, the sound and the visuals and just all the fit, all of this, I'm looking at it going, oh, it looks banging. I think, I'd imagine it feels great. Like,
but to me, I feel like you have made your decision already, and this time next week, you will be telling us what you think of this game.
Yeah, I think that's the case, isn't it?
To me, it sounds like you are going to buy Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I think it's a fantastic game. But it's difficult. Like I say, I would thoroughly recommend you jump in, do the tutorials, learn the basics, do a bit of story, jump back up, maybe do, then there's like advanced tutorials and learn them. Like the thing I would say about Mortal Kombat is, whereas in say Street Fighter, a combo string, let's just whatever, say it's like jump in, medium kick, hard punch, ducking punch, you know, like it's a combo string. In a Street Fighter, there are specific moments that you do that. So it's jump in with a kick, then the second you land, you hit punch, then the second the punch lands, you duck and do another. In Mortal Kombat, it's not quite like that. If the combo is square, triangle, square, you just go square, triangle, square, and it does the combo. If the combo is square, triangle, cross, circle, you just go bang, 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 as quickly as you can, that combo will be played out. In that respect, you can feel really cool without having to worry about time. There are elements of the game that do require that timing, like perfect blocks or like, so like if you're juggled, you can press down and R2 and expend some of your sort of meter to get away from that, to get out of the juggle. But in terms of just like nailing combos and feeling good, that's fine. Then there's more if you want to. And it might be the gateway fighter for you. So maybe it is a good idea.
That's exactly it, you see. Because I don't, as I said in the last podcast, it's always just been a recent Smash. And then before that, it would have been probably like early Tekken games and Soul Calibur 2. That's really all I've been into or have played to get like a good fun few hours out of a fighting game. Do you know what I mean? Like I can still pick up Soul Calibur 2 today and be like, oh, this is just one of the best ever. Like, and still feel and know how good it is. And then I just see Mortal Kombat, I'm just like, oh. And then it's also as well, it's just those DLC fighters that they'll bring out down the line. Like how they did with like 10 and brought in all like Leatherface and all that kind of stuff.
There's been leaks about, well, I don't know if they're true or not, but like, didn't they?
I've seen Ash.
Ash, but I think Terminator was one of them as well.
Yeah, Terminator was one.
They're not confirmed them, but they both sound very plausible.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say the attention to detail, mate, is incredible. Like in Injustice, they had Raiden and Sub-Zero as DLC. Like in this, there's so much dialogue being recorded outside of the story, just for like when two characters start and they have a little chat before the match, you know, like they're kind of, you know, shit talking. In this, like, there's even dialogue where Raiden, if Raiden faces Sub-Zero, he'll even say something about, I feel like I was in an unjust universe that wasn't our own. And then Sub-Zero says, I've had the same dream as well. Like, there's even, like, there is so much effort gone into the game. I think you would like it. It's whether you would feel you spent too much on it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. I might have to give it a shot, if I'm honest. I think it could be something that I could enjoy. I want to play it anyway, either way, before the year is out.
Fair play. NetherRealm, that's one sale check to Adam Cook, care of, God is a geek. Have you been playing anything else, mate? Like, sorry, Days Gone.
Very quickly, I won't spend too long on it. I've been playing Dead by Daylight. I think it came out in like 2017 that way. This was free on PS Plus, I think, around 2 or 3 months ago. It's a game that was kind of around the time of Friday the 13th as well. Similar kind of premise. This is just like you can either play as the killer or the survivor. It's four survivors, one killer. If you're a survivor, the main objective of the game is to like switch on 5 generators on a certain map. There's a variety of maps, and it's as the survivor, it's third person. As the killer, it's first person. So there's a lot of, like, as you can imagine, when you're repairing a generator, you have to hold down R1, and it's this like loading bar that goes up, and it makes the tension, because you get notified by sounds and music if the killer is within your area, if he's close to you. So it's kind of like a massive risk whether you want to continue doing what you're doing or just get the hell out of there and maybe try and get back to that generator to fix it. The more survivors that help you, the faster the process is. And the whole aim is just to get out as a team and escape the killer. But man, even though it sounds so basic, it does so much stuff that's just amazing. Like, first off, the community, from what I've played, is incredible. Like, everyone helps. Everyone is there to, like, support you. Like, if the killer grabs you, he can bring you over to this, like, hook. He throws you on top of the hook and your life just starts going down. But you then get every other survivor's like shadow. You can see it kind of highlighted amongst the around the map, and you can see them trying to get to you. But what's amazing about it is how you can play the killer and their kind of line of sight. So as I said, like as survivor, it's third person. So imagine you can like, you've the camera in full view. You can do full 360 with the camera, whereas that the killer only has like front view, POV, because it's first person, you know? So there's a lot of moments where you could just be hiding behind a rock and the killer is just like, you can see that they're just frustrated trying to find you because they only can see straight ahead and you could just be right behind them, do you know what I mean? Just like running by. There's a lot of like, not like the DLC characters alone have been like Michael Myers from Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Elm Street, Saw, Evil Dead. And the developers are still adding all the time. There's so much like DLC for the game. And I didn't think I was going to be like all about it because the game does look rough, but it actually plays.
What are you playing it on?
On PS4.
Because this is the game that came to Switch and looked like super rough, right?
Yeah, like it is coming to Switch.
It's not on there yet.
It's not on there yet. It's going to be rough and it looks rough, but I just feel that when you play it, you just don't care. It doesn't matter because all the kind of mechanics just work. And it, like, for example, do you know when we all played Friday and it was like, Friday was great fun with friends. It was amazing. But unfortunately, it just had so many issues that it interfered.
Mm-hmm.
Dead by Daylight just has built upon that. And it's just kind of went, yeah, it's rough. But if you play with your friends or even just online with other people, you're in for a good time. I've done it now with just randomers and I've done it with like, friends as well playing online, and both experiences are fantastic. And being the killer as well, oh man, it's so much fun. It is so much fun. Like, for example, like if Freddy Krueger is the killer, if you're at a generator, the song 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You starts kind of fading into your like speakers and stuff, and you're like, oh shit, he's somewhere, and then he'll just appear like from the ground. And you just gotta run as fast as you can. And I mean, like, you get caught pretty easily, but it's just how it all works. And all the perks that you get are just really, really good. And there's a lot of lore to actually all the characters. Like, if you get, like, Laurie from the Halloween DLC, and if you get Michael Myers, like, it gives you a description of what their background is and stuff. And it's kind of cool in that sense. Even if you're Michael Myers, it's outstanding. You actually have to stalk the characters. So, like, you'll just appear and Michael's theme tune starts playing, you know, the John Carpenter theme tune. That will just start coming on, and then you can see the players running away. But you have to stalk them.
So, is this the same devs, by the way, as Friday the 13th? Because that game
This is Behavior Interactive, they're called.
But it is a very similar game, right?
It's a very similar game, but it just...
But then so is World War Z, I suppose, to Left 4 Dead. So, I mean...
Yeah, pretty much. You're allowed. It just works that bit better, like, than... Okay. Like, I would love Friday to be still with us and, like, could be built upon and made into a better game. But, like, Dead by Daylight has its fan base. And I've been there kind of going, I need to try this for a long time. And it has its fan base because the community have been so good. Like... Mm. It's amazing to play a game like this and people really try to help you and heal you and everything. And you can all, when you all escape together, man, there's some feeling, like, it just feels really good. I'd recommend it if anyone has picked it up for free.
Okay.
And it's just sitting there. Give it a shot. Give it a couple of rounds. It's not a game you're going to play for like hours on end in one day. You'll play like two or three rounds and be like, that's great. But you'll constantly keep going back to playing it. I've been on it now for nearly like, the bones of a month, and I'm still jumping in for games and leveling up and stuff and having a really good time with it so far anyway.
Fair enough. I actually didn't realise that was one of the PS Plus games, so I don't know if I've missed it or if I've still got time to grab it, but basically to avoid this being a super short podcast, I'm going to try and talk about SteamWorld Quest and hopefully not butcher it, because it's so I will preface this by saying I really, really like the SteamWorld games. Like, I like Dig, I like Dig 2. I actually did play a little bit of Heist, and it was at a time where I was just not playing handheld stuff, but I really liked Heist. And SteamWorld Dig 2 is amazing, and SteamWorld Quest is fantastic. It's I was quite surprised it was a Switch exclusive. I'm guessing it will come to PC and to other consoles, because they kind of always do, don't they? The SteamWorld games.
Yeah.
But this is... So it's an RPG card battler.
Oh, wow, a card one. I did not expect that.
No, I don't know why I didn't know this. I thought it was... Like, we're making an RPG, and they have, and you know, you get experience, and it levels up your abilities, and there's like a system where you can change your equipment to make you stronger or whatever, and accessories, like, you know, like almost Final Fantasy VII. But the thing that elevates it, obviously, is the style. It's got the SteamWorld look, but it's almost like a more medieval kind of take this time. It's the card system. It's actually very clever. So, you know, you get... Each character has, I don't know if it changes as you get deeper, but has like 8 cards you can select to put in their deck that rotate round and round and round. So 3 characters in your party. You get like all these cards that say character 1 can use these cards, character 2 can, they're their own cards that you can build their deck for each character. If you use, say Adam, you're in my party and your cards are blue and you're like a mage. So if I use 3 of your cards, you actually then get a sort of bonus 4 thrown on that like does a... So like it could be attack, magic, and then the fourth one will be like... It does kind of both, or it's like a combo attack. But it's just very clever, because most moves are free to use, but some of your cards, like they kind of think of it like mana, I guess, except mana... You actually earn it by using these cards. So by using one basic card, you get one mana. So, but that is, they're the cogs, really. But I'm saying mana because everyone knows it was magic power. But that fills up, so you can actually sort of store them up until you then like unleash, say, 4 of your attacks that use that mana. And they do like superpower damage. And then if you're lucky, you get the combo one at the end as well, if you've managed to get it right, if the cards have fallen. There are other cards as well that like combo with other characters. So you can do like 2 cards and this third card, which combos, which gets your other character to join in on that attack. It's quite ingenious. It's actually quite tricky. You can grind a little bit. There are statues that you can save out, but they respawn the enemies, a bit like a soul's bonfire. You don't have to use them, and you often don't have to. They're often placed in places where you can just carry on, so you're not actually fighting the same things again. But what it does allow you to do is go backwards and fight to grind a bit. I think I need to do that at the point I'm at. But it's got kind of SteamWorld's, you know, humor and writing and this card system that's just really clever. Like, you know, you can get a shop and craft or buy cards, you know, you can craft them using elements. It's just, I wasn't expecting it. And even when you think you've got a handle on it, it then throws in this combo system or this buddy up system. And it's like, it's actually a really deep card battling game. And I'm really impressed. Like Image and Form, they did SteamWorld Dig, and it was kind of, I mean, how would you describe that? Kind of like a, I mean, it's almost like the evolution of Dig Dug, I suppose, isn't it? But like with a bit of Minecraft thrown in.
I have to be honest here and like confess that like I have SteamWorld Dig 2 on my Switch and I've never played it yet.
You would love that game. But yeah. What I was going to say is they did that, and then they did SteamWorld Heist, which was like a turn-based battle game, and then they went back to SteamWorld Dig, and then they've done this thing. Like this developer is
trying to keep it fresh.
They're keeping it fresh, but they're doing it really well. Like, there's not been a game they've released I haven't gone, this is a game you should play. This is a game you should buy and play. Like, they are really impressive. And I'm assuming a smallish studio. I think they're in Sweden. Wow. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just keep doing it. I don't know.
That's amazing.
I don't know. It's just really cool to see. I'm trying to think of anything else I've played. I've played a lot of Switch recently. I actually played a bit of SSX2 today, because in setting up my sort of new setup in the office, I booted up the PlayStation Classic and SSX2. A lot of those games have not aged well, man.
It has not aged well.
Most of those games haven't aged well. let's be honest. I've been meaning to sit down with World War Z. I've been meaning to sit down and have a look through Dreams. But Dreams is so tutorially. Like, it is about creating, so you've got so much to sit through and kind of get through that I just haven't found that slot of time. You know what I mean? I'd say I've been all this, you know, the films and like, you know, the Game of Thrones is, and yeah, I've been busy.
It's a bit of everything.
A bit of everything. But I've even been thinking about my 3DS, and I've been thinking about some of the older Switch games I sort of never quite got all the way through. I've been thinking, do I go back to Baba as You? I downloaded the update for Captain Toad, and I'm like, Captain Toad's a lovely game. I should just play some more Captain Toad.
What about Yoshi's Crafted World? Have you
still haven't bought that. Still sitting on the fence. But it's like, in my head, I want it to come down in price, but we know that doesn't happen with Nintendo games. But I would worry after the demo that I would enjoy it and then just stop playing it, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's it, man.
That's life. That's life. And that's a podcast. So it's a bit short this week, but we're on the seat of our pants this week, aren't we?
Big time.
To make it sound like everyone should be grateful, because you know we do this for free, so to speak, but you get it for free, and you also can get it early if you're a Patreon subscriber of $1, which is actually less than £1 a month, and you get every podcast early, and you get bonuses. We give away codes, we give away early access as a private Discord channel. We think it's worth essentially a tenner a year. 10 UK pounds is about $12, probably there or thereabouts. What's that in euros? What's a tenner in euros, Ed?
Oh, tenner in euros is about... Jesus. It's about seven?
Okay, so it's for over here, basically, it's two drinks in the cinema, and you've got a year's subscription. It's not bad. But yeah, Ed, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, my friend.
And we will speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.